From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Staff at Lee Memorial Health System's Golisano Children's Hospital in Fort Myers have teamed up with Miami Children's Hospital in a new clinical affiliation intended to improve treatments for severely sick or injured children and to help keep pediatric patients closer to home while in recovery. We'll take a closer look at how the clinical partnership is designed and what it will mean for pediatric patients and their families. Plus, next week marks a dark chapter in Fort Myers history. May 25th and 26th will mark the 90th anniversary of the lynching of two black teens in the city. We'll step back into our region's history for a closer examination of what's known about the lynchings and their impact, along with a broader look at the phenomenon of lynching in the U.S. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Next week will mark the 90th anniversary of the lynching of two young black men in Fort Myers. We'll explore this dark chapter in local history with a look back at what's known about the murders and their impact on the region, as well as a broader look at the phenomenon of lynching in America's history. That conversation's ahead in the second half of our program. But first, the Golisano Children's Hospital of Southwest Florida recently announced a new clinical affiliation with Miami Children's Hospital. The collaborative partnership is designed to address the treatment of severely sick or injured children and help more pediatric patients be able to recover closer to home, as well as streamline care and even cut financial costs. Telemedicine is also part of the new clinical partnership. Joining me now for a closer look at how the clinical affiliation works and what it means for patients and their families is Kathy Bridge Lyles. She's the Chief Administrative Officer for Lee Memorial Health System's Golisano Children's Hospital of Southwest Florida here in Fort Myers. Kathy Bridge Lyles, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us by phone this morning is Armando Iachu. He's Vice President of Clinical Operations for Miami Children's Hospital. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I invite our listeners to join the conversation as well. You can connect with our guests by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. You can send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And before we get into the specifics of this clinical affiliation, Kathy, can you tell us a bit about the Golisano Children's Hospital in general? The hospital currently consists of departments within the Health Park Medical Center.
That's correct, John. Currently, we have 98 beds for our pediatric patients, for our infants and children. And often that is not enough. There is not enough room to handle all the admissions that we are often faced with, and so we knew that we had to expand our services and go to a new facility where we could add additional beds. So we will go from 98 beds to 128 beds when we open the new facility, and we will have the capacity to expand to 160 beds in the future.
And the groundbreaking of that project was held just last month. When do you expect the new $242 million facility to be completed and open to patients?
We anticipate 3 years, so we are confident that by April of 2017, barring any unforeseen circumstances like hurricanes, but we anticipate an opening in April 2017 of the entire facility.
All right. And I would imagine that the limited bed capacity for the Golisano Children's Hospital now is maybe part of what sparked this clinical affiliation. Do patients have to be transferred to other facilities like Miami Children's or All Children's in Tampa? Not necessarily because their cases are beyond, you know, what our specialties can do here at Golisano, but simply because there isn't space.
There have been occasions where that has occurred, John. We have had instances where our neonatal intensive care unit has been full or even over capacity. So we have 48 beds now, and there have been times when we've had three or four admissions or triplets born that really needed that critical level of care, and we've had to transfer them, and we have transferred them to facilities like Miami Children's Hospital. But it's a terrible hardship for the family to have to be separated from the rest of their family. You know, a husband often stays back so they can work, and it creates a terrible hardship. Now, there are times when that is the best thing for the child because they need a certain level of care that's not provided at Golisano. But our goal is to never have that happen unless unless it is because of a clinical reason, not because that we do not have enough bed capacity.
Understood. And Armando, tell us generally about Miami Children's Hospital. It you know, really seems to be a leader in providing pediatric care here in Florida. It's the state's only freestanding pediatric trauma center.
It is. We are a 289-bed pediatric specialty hospital, standalone. We are a pediatric trauma center. We have a full complement of subspecialists here and serve in many cases as a quaternary referral hospital for local hospitals throughout the state. Last year, we had children from every county in Florida admitted in our hospital, and that just goes to speak to the reach of the organization. We are also ranked in all 10 subspecialty categories by U.S. News and World Report, something that we're very proud of.
Now, does Miami Children's have this kind of clinical affiliation with other hospitals around the state as well?
So we do receive patients from hospitals, as I said, all over the state and really all over the world, including the Caribbean, South, and Central America. Many times we offer subspecialties that are scarce in other parts of the country or the world, and we do receive patients. I believe that our clinical affiliation with Golisano, though, goes beyond just being a quaternary receiving facility. Mm-hmm. It actually goes to the future of healthcare, which is combining services for scale and to provide better access to patients across our region.
All right, so really making, you know, healthcare facilities more of a network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us how plans for this particular clinical affiliation first came about.
Well, when we were already referring patients to Miami Children's, and so we started to talk about better streamlining the transfer process and leveraging one another's strengths as healthcare facilities. And so that meaning that when we could keep children close to home, we would make sure that we could do that. And we did that with the support of some of the Miami specialists. A perfect example of that is when a child has head trauma, because we don't have neurosurgery in Fort Myers and in Golisano, we don't have any neurosurgeons because the volume of patients that require that in our area would not support full-time neurosurgical coverage. So Miami said, well, let us work with you, and we will become credentialed at your facility, and we will be able to access the MRI and the films and the diagnostic studies and help determine which children actually need to come to Miami, because since we send every child originally, Miami informed us that there were some children that did not need to be transferred. And so we now have an incredible affiliation, so that just in the past 3 months there have been two children that would have been sent out, but because of the privileges that the neurosurgeons have at our facility, they were able to tell us that the child did not need neurosurgery and could stay close to home at the Golisano facility. Then when the children do need to go, we have leveraged our strength by ensuring an incredible process through Life Flight, in which they immediately release their team and they come to pick up the child. And, you know, it's an incredible approach. It's an incredible process that Miami has developed, and Armando, I'm sure, can tell you more about the specifics.
Sure. And I was just thinking about those two cases you had just mentioned of kids who previously would have been transferred when they really wouldn't have needed to have been. That comes at a significant cost, doesn't it, Kathy?
A significant cost to the family?
Just in general. For the, you know, because, of course, they're going by medical transport.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A considerate cost. There's cost of transport. There's cost of the families being separated, being away from home, loss of work because they leave the area, and, you know, often have to take leave of absence from their job. So it's an incredible hardship on the family. And, you know, our goal is to keep children as close to home as possible when possible and to keep families together. So, you know, if we have to send a child away because it's the right thing to do for the child, often one parent goes with them, and you know, it's a cost more than just a financial cost. It's an emotional cost, and it's a life, you know, it's a life-changing event that we try to prevent when we can, and when we do it, we try to do it as smoothly and expediently as possible.
And, you know, you had mentioned earlier the example of, neonatal intensive care, all the way up to adolescents with head trauma. I mean, does this really cover the full scope of pediatric patients?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we send children, we keep children from birth to 18, and in some cases actually up to age 21 for children that have long-term illnesses like cystic fibrosis. But for these subspecialties, for the surgical, cardiac, and neurosurgical subspecialties, the child that we send could be a newborn that's only 2 or 3 pounds, or it could be a 15-year-old that was hurt on the ball field playing football and had a head injury. So, but all those children would come to our ED, and then our physicians in our ED and our pediatric intensivists consult with the Miami neurosurgeons, and together they decide as a team the right thing to do for that patient.
All right. We're taking a closer look at the new clinical affiliation between the Golisano Children's Hospital in Fort Myers and Miami Children's Hospital and what it will mean for pediatric patients and their families. We're talking with Miami Children's Armando Iachu and the Golisano Children's Hospital's Kathy Bridge Lyles. You can connect with our guests by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And Armando, I was hoping you could tell us a bit about the process of medical transfers, because that heavily involves Miami Children's Hospital's resources.
It does. It does. We are very proud of our Life Flight team. It is one of the few dedicated pediatric programs in the country, and we have an aircraft that we own, a rotor wing aircraft. We fly a Sikorsky S-76, and we use that aircraft to pick up patients from Golisano, from areas in the Caribbean. And this program is staffed by specialty transport nurses and medics. And as Kathy was saying earlier, we are able, based on this affiliation and some of the processes and algorithms we've put together, to dispatch our team almost immediately. And so from a call from one of the Golisano physicians to wheels off the ground, our goal is 20 to 30 minutes, and that will have us at Golisano almost within an hour of having initially received the call, retrieving that patient and bringing them back. Some of the things that differentiate our program are the fact that we can do ECMO, which is a heart and lung bypass, in the air. And we are, I believe, the only program in the state that can do that. And we also differentiate ourselves in Life Flight because we carry a parent with a child. The aircraft that we choose to fly, the airframe, enables us to have our crew, the child, the isolate, and the parent with them. And you could imagine the despair as a parent if your child had to be transferred across the state and not being able to go with them. And so we really are committed to making sure that our care is family-centered and bringing that parent along with the child.
And whether it's regards to a child at the Golisano Children's Hospital or at another pediatric care facility around the state, how often are these, you know, specialty transport teams dispatched? Is this like a daily occurrence?
It is, actually. We fly around 55 to 60 times per month. So
wow.
If you average it out, we fly twice a day.
Yes.
Now, it is incredible that we will go across the country to pick up a patient if we have to. And in those longer cases, we use the fixed-wing aircraft. But we do pick up children from all over the Caribbean and all over the U.S.
Wow. And Kathy, just looking at this partnership itself, Golisano Children's Hospital being the smaller facility, is this primarily intended to benefit care for pediatric patients that are living here in Southwest Florida, or are there benefits for folks and staff on the Miami side as well?
Well, certainly there are benefits. There, you know, it's a win-win for everyone, as I said earlier about each of us leveraging our strengths. So, you know, our strength is to take care of the tertiary level patient, which is the level that excludes neurosurgery and cardiac surgery. So just to be able to keep, to have the affiliation and to have the relationship in which someone is helping us keep children close to home when we can. It also benefits the patient, the streamlined process, and the Miami Children's facility and physicians, because when the child needs to be there, they have that immediate information about the child. So, you know, the child's there quickly. So if they're having a cardiac event or, you know, a head trauma, it benefits the surgeon, because then they're able to get to that child faster, and the child absolutely has a better outcome.
Right.
Oh, and John.
Yes, Armando.
Yes, I'd like to add. So there's a huge benefit to the children of Southwest Florida, but would you consider that the organizations are sharing protocols and sharing best practices? I'll give you a perfect example. There is a very talented physician at Health Park in the ICU, Dr. Danishman, and he's an intensivist, and he also leads the sedation program. And as the vice president over the sedation program here, while on a recent visit to Golisano, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Danishman. And he shared some of his best practices, which I in turn brought back here to our physicians. And so this opportunity for mutual learning and growth in the art of medicine, that has so much benefit, not only to the children of Southwest Florida, but to all the children in our region, because we are committed to evidence-based practice, and this sharing of evidence and this sharing of knowledge, I think it's one of the tangible benefits of what we're doing here.
All right. I understand, you know, streamlining care between the two facilities can also help cut down on costs by eliminating things like duplication of diagnostic testing, you know, saving both time and financial resources. Is that something that, you know, whether we're talking about pediatric or adult patients, is an issue when transferring patients, you know, blood work or other types of tests will just be duplicated because they're at the new facility, even though it's not really needed at that time?
Well, to Armando's point, when we share protocols, so if we know that a head trauma, so a head trauma patient comes in, someone that was hurt in a car accident or in the field, then we start the same protocols so that when the child does go to Miami, the tests do not have to be repeated or additional tests do not have to be done, because we have streamlined that process. So, you know, that was one of the things I was mentioning about the benefit to the Miami physicians. It's really the benefit to the child, but it allows the physicians in Miami to already have started the process of diagnosing that child and treating that child before the child even gets there.
All right. And what about All Children's in Tampa? Is there any kind of clinical affiliation that you have similar to this one with Miami Children's, Kathy?
We do not have as formal a clinical affiliation with All Children's. We certainly refer children there. You know, children are referred based on the physician's provider of choice. And so there are physicians that have, you know, used a particular provider at All Children's, and they certainly still continue to use those providers and are able to do that at any time. This clinical affiliation is different in the fact that it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of work on our part, on Armando's part and my part, to streamline these processes, to bring the physicians together, to build the relationships. And so usually it's common to have one more formalized affiliation agreement, but still use all of the services that are needed throughout the region when they're needed. I mean, there are times when you choose to transfer a patient to a facility and that facility has no room in the inn.
Right.
So, I mean, we have great relationships with all the hospitals in the region. They all do a great job. We have worked more closely with Miami. They have been extremely responsive to our needs. And, you know, and what that really does is the right thing for the child. Every conversation that we have, we talk about what is the right thing to do that will help serve the children of Southwest Florida close to home. This is always our MO, close to home. And then, but when they need care, move them quickly, not repeat tests, make sure that they have the best outcome. So it takes a lot of work, and so we meet all the time. We go to Miami. Miami comes to Golisano. So at this point, we have one more formalized affiliation agreement, but still work with all of the hospitals.
Okay. So if a child or, you know, their family already has established physician relationships at all Children's in Tampa, this isn't going to preclude them going there. There's a lot that's involved.
Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay.
And there are people that have had, you know, the families that have had surgery and they've been followed by a certain physician for 10 years, and we would never expect that they would change that relationship that they have developed.
We're taking a closer look at a new clinical affiliation between two children's hospitals. We're talking with Kathy Bridge Lyles with the Golisano Children's Hospital here in Fort Myers, along with Miami Children's Hospital's Armando Iachu. You can join the conversation with your comments and questions by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. You can also post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And I also understand that this affiliation also involves expanding the practice of telehealth. In what areas of pediatric patient care is telehealth already being used?
We have just recently purchased something called Avigo, which is a mobile device that will allow the physicians in Miami to actually visualize the patient at Golisano from Miami. And, you know, I will defer some of that conversation about telemedicine to Armando, because they have developed an incredible IT telemedicine command center that we have had the opportunity to visit and have seen the incredible opportunities that lie before us as we continue to work together to serve the children. Armando?
So that is another area that we're very proud of and we think really is the future of healthcare. And so we've got a 2,400-square-foot facility here at the main campus that we have created, as Kathy said, as a command center, enabling us to have telehealth consults literally throughout the world. And there's a software that's been developed in-house called MCH Anywhere. And something else that we've put a lot of work in with our clinicians, partnering with our IT's team and our programmers to develop, enabling us to provide subspecialist care to physicians, to mid-levels throughout the country and the world. And the applications for telehealth are endless. I mean, there's teledermatology taking place. There is telerehab taking place. And the scale that it creates and your ability to leverage these precious subspecialists that are so few and far between to the masses, it really is a great tool for the advancement of healthcare for children.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, here in Florida, you know, particularly in more central inland parts of the state, you do have areas where there's just really not enough healthcare services available to meet the needs of those populations. Is this really where telehealth could step in?
It is one of the areas. And so if you imagine your rural emergency department that may not have a pediatric emergency trained physician, it may use an adult physician or a pediatrician, and a case comes in that really isn't within their comfort zone, they can dial up one of our specialists and say, you know, here, eyes on the patient, what do you think? Should we transfer this patient? What should we do as far as intervention? And the way the software is developed, it can be done with an iPad or a smartphone. It doesn't require a lot of technology, or you can have a full cart that has diagnostic capabilities. It's very broad, the service that can be offered through telehealth, and it benefits Not just here, but imagine other countries where subspecialties may not exist within the entire country.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our segment here, but lastly, I wanted to ask about how this clinical affiliation might impact or be impacted by health insurance companies. Do all insurance companies cross hospitals?
That's a very good. Go ahead, Armando.
No, so that is a great question. Typically, you have in-network and out-of-network provider relationships with the various insurance companies, and given Florida's managed care climate, a lot of the payers that exist on the West Coast are the same payers that exist on the East Coast. And we would never create a situation where this affiliation would cause a hardship on a family because of a payer situation. So if we did encounter any challenges, those would be worked out between the organization and the managed care company. That would not befall on the patient.
Gotcha. Kathy, did you want to go ahead?
Yes, I just wanted to say that, it is not an issue when we certainly need to refer children to a quaternary center for services that we do not provide.
Right.
So, it's not as if they're out of network and it's a service that could be provided locally. So, that's always a covered service.
Sure. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program, but I want to thank my guests. Kathy Bridge-Lyles is Chief Administrative Officer at the Golisano Children's Hospital at Lee Memorial Health System's Health Park campus in Fort Myers. Kathy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about this new affiliation that serves children.
We've also been speaking with Armando Iachu. He's Vice President of Clinical Operations at Miami Children's Hospital. Thanks so much for your time this morning as well.
Thank you for having us.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, May 25th and 26th will mark the 90th anniversary of the lynching of two black youth in Fort Myers. Between 1882 and 1930, Florida led the nation in the number of blacks killed by lynch mobs per capita. We'll mark this dark chapter in our history with a closer look at what's known today about this Fort Myers case and its impacts, as well as an exploration of what fueled the greater phenomenon of lynching in America. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.